Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 10, says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you would quiet our hearts and our minds to everything else going on in the world. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would fill us, change us, and help us to see your word as you want it. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, today, we live in a world that is removing God's design for women. Women are no longer an important role in our society. If they can be redefined and even recreated by anyone who wants to be changed in the likeness of a woman. Now, there are some in our society today who do not feel comfortable describing a woman or even trying to define her. The very idea of showing a difference between the man and the woman or even suggesting that these are the only two genders in existence seem unnerving for some. I'm going to follow that example and not label anyone something specific. Instead, I'm going to share with you how God describes his very own creation. And I'm going to use the words that he chose to be available to us. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we see God creating the whole earth and the single gender man. In chapter 2, we see the creation of a second gender woman for the purpose that the man would not be alone. Now, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Now, using the rib from the man, God created woman. Now, when God created woman, he created it by a particular design, and he created for specific purposes. Now, notice that God did not take man and recreate him to be a woman. God designed man for his own specific purposes, and they are not the same as the woman. The man and the woman were designed differently for different roles and different purposes, but they were to work together, to complement each other, to fit as two pieces of a perfect puzzle together. Now, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Now, men have their own roles, such as fathers, spiritual leaders of the home, and the shepherd of their family. Women have their own roles, such as mothers, the dynamic helper to her husband, and the balance of the home. Now, our society today is canceling the need for mothers. They are being replaced with birthing persons. Our society teaches that anyone can be who they want to be, regardless of how God designed them. Women are being replaced by men and our society embraces it instead of protecting the heritage and the rights of women. Now, God has given certain qualities to men that women do not possess, and certain qualities to women that men do not possess. God's design for man does not change by how the man dresses, or by his name, by how he feels, or even by the manipulation of his body. That man's design still as a man. He can try to change everything else, but his DNA still has designed code by God as a man. A man can never be a mother. He can try, but there will always be something missing. And there will always be something missing in the life of his family. Now, God has designed mankind a certain way. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." Verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" Now, some people resent God's design. Some even reject it. I would lovingly remind these people that God's design is more perfect than anything that you could ever design, even spending a lifetime or more than one lifetime trying to do. Fulfilling the biblical model of the roles of the family will help any family to grow and learn to love the Lord in amazing and incredible ways. Now, notice here in chapter 1 and verse 27, it says that God created man in his own image. This means that every person who is born is an image bearer of the Lord. That means that we are born ordained to bear God's image, and no man has the right to destroy that image. That means that every life is consecrated by God to hold meaning and importance. Only God, our Creator, has the right to decide when our end should be. I do not have the right to choose, especially to take the life of an innocent life. Now, in our nation today, there are battles over the recent discussion about the overturning of the abortion laws. And I have heard and read some of these who are demanding that the law not be changed. Now, it's interesting that I have not seen or heard anyone fighting to keep the law speaking graciously or with kindness or with care about why it is important to keep it. I have just heard yelling and bickering. I have heard and read speeches of hate, slander, and disgust. I read a serious social media post questioning why someone does not just murder those who have the power to overturn these laws. After all, once they are gone, we are free to go on and murder our own children, and we are free to make any decision that we want to make. I find it interesting that in hospitals today, you'll have one side that is delivering babies and fighting for the lives of even the premature children. You have parents who are weeping over the loss of a child and prayers that are being said for the protection of so many others. And yet, on the other side of the same hospital, you see children that are being murdered, calling them nothing but cells and tissue and parasites. These babies are not lovingly wrapped in a blanket to be swaddled. They are tossed in a bucket and taken out with the trash. How can there be such a tremendous difference in thought between one person and another? How can there be such a horrible action suggested or performed without any care or love? Well, the prophet Jeremiah tells us, he shares with us what the problem is. He tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Have you ever heard the saying, "We're all basically good"? That saying is completely different than what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, that nobody is basically good. Not me, not you, no one. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, considering what the prophet Jeremiah told us, in the next verse, he shares how God knows that no one is basically good. He says here in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, man sees the outside. Sometimes we people can look pretty good. We can look understanding and compassionate and even loving. But God sees the heart. He knows our very thoughts. He knows our intentions. I recently read a statistic that said 1 in 4 women will have an abortion by the time they are 40 years old. Now, I, for one, am very happy that I was not part of that one. I would venture to suggest that everyone listening to the sound of my voice is very glad that they were not aborted, but were instead protected by their mothers. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, looking back to our text today, we see an enormous amount of responsibility. Now, make note, the items listed here in Proverbs 31 are not describing one singular woman, okay? So, women, when you're looking at this, don't be like, oh, man, this is all the stuff I have to achieve. If they were, this would be some Wonder Woman for sure, not the kind that's in the comic books. That's a superhero fighting crime. This is the one that's in the home fighting, you know, for the family. The picture that we see here throughout our text paints a vivid picture of the role and responsibility of the mother. Now, I believe the hardest role in a marriage is the husband. And part of this is might be because I am a guy and have the privilege of being a husband myself. Because biblically, he is the provider. He is the leader. He is a fighter for what is most important, and he is a fighter for his wife. Now, one of his God-given roles is to lead his wife by example through God's word and to shepherd the people in his family that God has put under his leadership. Now, if you want to know more of what that looks like or how that works, you got to come back on Father's Day. You'll get the rest then. Now, I also believe the hardest role in a family is the role of the mother. The mother takes on the responsibility of the children and the home and the husband. She at times takes the weight of the world on her shoulders. And considering our text today from Proverbs chapter 31, the expectations of the godly wife can be overwhelming. It takes a great deal of prayer and growth and godliness for a Christian home to succeed. And much of that success is due to the mother. Now in our text, verse 10 asks the question, who can find a virtuous wife? Now, virtue is defined as the behavior showing high moral standards. And we see a picture forming of that woman throughout this text. Now, let's consider just a few things about the mother. If you look with me in the text of Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, the virtuous woman is a woman of character. Good moral character is worth far more than money. A woman who can be trusted, who wants to honor the Lord, is a trustworthy woman. A woman of character is a woman who will fight for her family. And that's worth more than any money can provide. Tell you what, you can't pay someone who's not connected to your house to fight for your family in the right moral ways. It just doesn't work. It's going to be totally different. Now in verses 13 through 22, which we're not going to read through all these, but we see that the virtuous woman is a woman who isn't afraid to work. She is a hard worker. She will work hard for her family, both outside the home and inside. She will do whatever is necessary to get things done, even going above and beyond. Now, for me, I'm thankful for a wife who goes above and beyond, who's a hard worker. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, in other words, the husband is about his business. He's not running around trying to figure out what his wife is doing. He trusts her because she is a woman of character and because she's a hard worker. Now, the virtuous woman is trustworthy, and her husband can confidently get his work done knowing that her work will be taken care of and done well. This is a husband that doesn't have to go behind his wife and be like, oh, did you get this done? Did you get this done? No, it's squared away. So he can confidently do his work while she's doing hers. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And the virtuous wife may not be able to tell the future, but she is preparing for it. Now, there are other versions of verse 25, I think from the ESV and some of the other more English translations provided today, that talk about how she laughs at the future. And the idea here of the text is that she looks at the future and she's not so much concerned for it. It's not that she can tell what's going to happen in the future, but she stays well prepared. And she trusts in what the Lord is going to do in her life moving forward. She trusts that no matter what, his promises and his plan is going to be perfect. So she just takes care of whatever she can to be able to get up to that point. She's not worried about it. She's open and getting ready for God to do amazing things in her home. Now, verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And the virtuous wife uses wisdom and she shares it and even teaches it to all in her household. But how does the woman become virtuous? When we see in this text active wives and mothers for their home, is it simply about being active? Is it simply about keeping your mind and your putting everything forward, to keeping things to the grind and just squaring it away? Or is it about doing something specific? Well, look with me at verse 30. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, fear in this context means respect as well as an awe of God's pure and amazing righteousness and majesty. Now, the godly mother begins with a healthy fear of the Lord, an understanding that God takes precedence, that his design is greater than our own, that his love is more perfect and complete than anything that we can experience on our own without him. And the mother who protects her children is the mother who fears the Lord. The mother who helps to guide and care for her children is the mother who fears the Lord. The mother who teaches her children through godly wisdom is the mother who fears the Lord. The mother who disciplines her children in order to help them stay on the straight and narrow path is the mother who fears the Lord. The mother who models godliness and integrity to her family is the mother who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is when we all begin to learn how to trust in God and learn how living for him can bring us a peace that even lasts through all of eternity. Now, I'm thankful for godly mothers today, those women who seek to put the needs of others before their own, those who live by example, those who train their children in the way that they should go, those that want to know God today and for all of eternity. Thank you to godly mothers. Now, for those who do not know God, You simply need to follow the straight and narrow path. Now, that's a phrase that is often used, and most do not realize that it comes from the Bible. Most of you wouldn't realize the many, many phrases that we use in our vernacular today that come from the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 through 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The straight and the narrow is following the narrow path. Now, this life is described in the Bible as eternal life. Eternal life is an existence after this one in a place called heaven. Heaven is not guaranteed to everyone, only those who enter by the narrow gate. In other words, only those who purpose to know God. Now, those who want a different life, one with greater meaning than we can ever have on our own, a life defined by God's bountiful joy and peace, only have to approach the Lord and ask for it. And yet so few do. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you do not know for sure the Lord, if you do not understand what it means to fear the Lord, what it means to have eternal life, I would invite you today to seek me out, and we can talk about it. Or someone from our leadership team can talk to you about it. It's so important that we know what it really means, what it truly means to have the fear of the Lord, what it truly means to know that we have eternal life. The Bible reminds us. Now, there are so many times that I meet with people and I just talk to people on the street and I ask them, "Do you know for sure if you die today, you'd be in heaven?" And so many of them say, "No, I don't." But I don't think anybody can know for sure. And I remind them what the Bible says. So the Bible does tell us, hey, you need to know for sure. You can know for sure. That's so important. The most important decision we'll ever have in this life is knowing where we're going to spend our eternity. So if you don't know, please seek me out and let's sit down and talk about it so you can know God in a much more personal way today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for mothers. We thank you for godly mothers who are willing to raise their children by your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the women who seek to be the virtuous wife, those who follow the scripture, those who sacrifice and put others before themselves. Lord, we thank you that we all can be changed to be more like you as we consider verse 30 of Proverbs 31, thinking specifically about fearing you, loving you, being in awe of your majesty and understanding that you are bigger, you understand much more, your wisdom is supremely more full than we could ever have, that you are our creator, that we need to respect you and humbly come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us so many opportunities to make things right in our lives. And I pray today that as we consider what it means to fear the Lord, that no one would leave today without knowing for sure that when they die, that they would be in heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your continual praise. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us everything that we need in this life. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. I pray that as we go out today, Lord Jesus, that we would go out in rejoicing, that we would thank our mothers, and that we would be respectful of them, Lord Jesus. I also pray that we would go out thinking about what it means to fear the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would only have praise and worship on our lips. May we serve you mightily this day and moving forward. In your name I pray these things. Amen.